Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our logistics podcast by Vitron. My name is Robert Heber, and it's a pleasure to talk to Dr. Stefan Bauer from Vitron. Hello, Dr. Bauer. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Hi, Robert.
Today, we want to talk about software user interfaces. What new role do you have with the topic of software user interfaces at Vitron?
My role within Vitron is, first of all, a part of the management team. Mm-hmm. And within that role, I have different applications, and they sometimes require a maintenance of the user interface. Mm-hmm. In that role, I have currently a project running mm-hmm. where we are transforming a successful warehouse management system to a browser-based application. And that's currently my contact to the transformation of user interfaces. And that's why I'm excited to talk with you about those changes.
Why do you need to transform your user interfaces?
The user interfaces we have made, they are sometimes aged. Some customers would call it legacy systems okay. because they are coming actually from the client server technology. Partly, they are using user technologies like Visual Basic, which are no longer supported since some years and need to really an update. Mm-hmm. So that is the driver. The general developments of software technology, including as well our customer views.
So what were your tasks? It's a project team.
I'm actually leading that group mm-hmm. Who is transforming the current warehouse management system for a customer in North America in mm-hmm. the health industry. We are working in that project as a team with strong support from our competence centers. I think Dominik Simbach, my colleague from the competence center, will be a part of that podcast as well. Yep. And we'll comment that later as well, how we are cooperating in that. So there is a project-related team with strong support from the competence center, mm-hmm. which I try to steer in the direction in order to keep timing, mm-hmm. As we promised, within our agreements with the customer.
Let's talk a little bit about, I would call it, architecture. Can you describe a little bit more the process of transforming the interfaces?
You have to see what technologies we are using and the current legacy system, call it that way.
Yeah, okay.
The legacy system is composed of parts which are developed by our own IT frameworks of Vitron. Mm-hmm. They are allowing to actually develop forms with SQL code in the background. Mm-hmm. And this need to be updated, allowing that they can be rendered in a browser. So mm-hmm. that is a task which our competence center has to provide. Actually, they are enhancing our own IT frameworks mm-hmm. that the output can as well be rendered in a browser. Once we have that from the competence center, it's tested and ready for use, we can basically, without changing the corresponding code in the background, use it in a browser. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit theory because of the new technology we have as well to adapt the code in regard to certain complexity. But that is for our own frameworks.
Yeah.
And then we are using as well third-party development tools, especially from Microsoft in the past, where we are now have certain tiers in the software architecture, which we are substituting by new user interface frameworks. And I would like to mention the product React from Meta mm-hmm. we are using for complex workstation dialogues. So we are substituting the user interface tier of the software architecture and try to really keep the transactional layer, the functional and the data access layer mm-hmm. As much as possible. Obviously, that is not always the case mm-hmm. because the encapsulation of the tiers is not accurate yes. because of the maintenance of the legacy system. That's why there is as well adaptations necessary. But in theory, that is the task we are doing in the transformation process.
But Stefan, to be honest, browser-based solutions is not rocket science, right? Do you need to catch up there?
Indeed. I don't want to hide that. For us, it's a change because our senior developers with a large experience and knowledge about the customer processes and the development tools, they are entering into that world. Mm-hmm. They are supported by a lot of new employees, which we have recently employed. They have more experience in the technology sometimes than those senior developers. We are trying to really merge those senior and junior developers in groups. This is a part of the education for them, but it's actually vice versa. It's going in both directions as they have competences where each can learn from the other.
So was the topic a customer requirement, right?
It is a general, obviously, a requirement from the market, and customers are demanding it as well. So if they like our technology, mm-hmm. it can sometimes, or it did happen, that they said, you are very strong in that area. We see that the performance you are providing is outstanding. This is unique. That's what we want to use. But as we have so many different technologies in a system, composed of mechanics, of PLCs, and the IT, maybe the IT needed an update on the user interface, and that has been required as a kind of a prerequisite. So mm-hmm. they did ask us, as part of the commitment to cooperate with us, our commitment that we are maintaining our software as well in that direction.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it for you and your Vitron team to go down this path?
Obviously, it's a change, and every change is in that way a challenge because you have first to maintain what you have, and sometimes you not just can store it somewhere, you have to maintain it because there is a kind of existing customers still want to have enhancements in the area, in the technology layers they are using, and you have to enter into a new kind of web-based mm-hmm. development. So there is conflicts in resources, in priorities, and that need to be managed. Successfully, we did so because we have been growing with people. So mm-hmm. partly we solved it that Vitron did employ much more developers in order to step forward on that route. Competence centers have been strengthened and mm-hmm. new ones have been created. So that have been the way to proceed.
You mentioned the rollout is in the USA. Will other customers also benefit, and how?
We are having those kind of projects as a proof of concept, mm-hmm. as a pilot, and within those customers, there will be as well a rollout to existing and to new kind of warehouses. Okay. And obviously, we will offer that as well for new customers joining our kind of applications. And for some of the existing customers, there will be upgrade projects. Mm-hmm. Depending on the level of automation, the complexity of such projects will be different. Obviously, if there's less automation, the update can be done within a reasonable period of some weeks. If you look to more automation, where you have really to have a transition, it may take longer, but it is still possible. And depending on the priorities of the customer as well, we offer such upgrade projects.
So is the interface topic a sales argument now, or is it a common commodity you have to deliver?
It depends maybe on what we are looking to. In my professional experience, I'm more on the less automated systems. So the kind of importance of the user interface is enormous. I would say that is making the difference. And you can really get customers in if you have the right technology, if you can offer a user interface, an efficient effective, less clicks, a very clear and kind of configurable user interface. Mm-hmm. If we look to automation, it's still important, but obviously you're looking more to the overall performance, and it will be one component in the decision process. So I would give my answer in that direction. It depends really on the level of automation.
Okay. Okay. What did Vitron have to learn from this project?
The kind of transformation process requires preparation. That means you have to have the right products, development products to start. We have evaluated different frameworks, and we did make proof of concepts depending on kind of what others do. We looked at that. Is that the right technology for us? Cross platforms, such things. However, then we decided to really use browser-based applications because we can see that this is for us the right approach with the most coverage at all. And that process we had to learn in case that we tried proof of concepts. But once this decision is taken and competence centers has created kind of basic libraries, we could go into really the transformation process in projects, mm-hmm. still getting that support from the competence centers, but now adding a lot of code to it based on those basic libraries created.
And it's an ongoing process, right?
It definitely.
It never ends.
Definitely. You know, software, you know that. Software is always a living project.
But that's new for Vitron, right? That's new. That's a new philosophy, right?
Yeah. And the level of change is, again, depending on the level of automation. So on the side, you have less automation. The upgrade cycles and the change cycles may be much more frequent than mm-hmm. they are on a system where you have a lot of mechanics and PLCs installed, where they are actually giving a frame for the functionality. Mm-hmm. But in general, we are trying by encapsulation to allow as well upgrades in that area without impact on those more stable parts of a distribution center.
And Vitron and your team are looking for new employees with new qualifications, right?
Yes, definitely. You know, we have been growing a lot in all areas of the company, mm-hmm. especially in the on-site service, but as well in the development areas, so in the IT. The kind of recruiting process is not as easy. It's sure. maybe becoming better at the moment because economy is not doing so well at the yeah. moment, and there are more opportunities for us to recruit those people, but mm-hmm. we could only deliver it by growing amount and qualification of resources, and they bring such knowledge from the education they get prior to Vitron into the mm-hmm. company.
What is on your agenda for the next months?
For me personally, I would like to complete that project I have talked about. We have delivered that in steps. The largest steps has been done, which is the complete shop floor transformation. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. The most amount of users have been migrated to the new technology. We are already in the rollout phase, and we would like now to kind of still deliver certain workstation dialogues. We have selected an architecture where we can deliver those changes in steps. So we are able to deliver a hybrid application in regard to kind of hardware as well as to software. So that is very, I would say, a great step forward in the transition process, in the change management, that we can actually substitute dialogues step by step and enable a smooth kind of transition from the legacy system to the web-based application.
You mentioned the rollout. What risks do you see in this situation?
It's always that it takes more time because mm-hmm. when we are going into new warehouses, that we are facing maybe new requirements. I do not hope for that, but it can happen that you are having during the rollout requirements where you have to look at and then have to step back and include it. It is really a multi-site rollout, and that's difficult. This may be a risk within the process if you have dozens of warehouses to migrate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Now we will switch from the infrastructure podcast with Stefan Bauer to Dominik Simbeck, who will tell us more about Vitron's UX strategy. Hello, Mr. Simbeck. Welcome to the podcast.
Hallo, Herr Weber. Grüße Sie.
Hello, Mr. Weber.
We have had the pleasure of meeting you before, but for those who don't know you yet, may you please briefly introduce yourself to the listeners? Who are you and what do you do at Vitron?
Natürlich, sehr gerne. Also, mein Name ist
Dominik Simbeck. My name is Dominik Simbeck, and I've been working with Vitron for about 16 years now. I'm a Vitron homegrown, so to say. I did my apprenticeship as a software developer here and was then involved in various ramp-up projects around the world for many years, always with a focus on user interfaces. I made many project-specific adjustments and accompanied the ramp-up phases. As my experience grew, I became more and more involved in the topic of standardization. I've been looking at how we can keep certain things the same and how to make certain things more efficient. This path led me to become a competence center manager, and I've now been working in this role for several years, developing new technologies, basic technologies relating to user interfaces with my team of around 50 people. We take care of standardization and a nice new way to go.
Schönen neuen way to go reinkriegen.
So you just make it pretty, or what do you mean?
Wir machen es nicht.
Well, we also make it pretty, but of course, we also want to make it efficient.
How did you start at Vitron, and why do you still enjoy it so much after 16 years?
Ja, es ist tatsächlich sehr, sehr kurzweilig bei uns.
Well, it's actually very entertaining here. You probably associate the classic software developer job with being a bit boring. You spend the entire day typing something into the computer, but working in the project business makes it very versatile. You can travel all over the world if you want to. You have to deal with new challenges every day. You don't know in the morning what to expect that day, whether it's a problem with a project where action has to be taken at short notice. It's a very interesting job. Our product and what we produce here is really special, I'd say. And ultimately, it's also very attractive for me as a technician because you have to deal with many technologies, including the latest technologies. Today, it's all about UX, but also topics such as web-based technologies, microservices, cloud, AI, etc., all things we are currently actively working on, a very attractive area, especially for young software developers who may have recently graduated from university.
Natürlich ein sehr, sehr reizvoller Bereich.
We have done a podcast together before. Back then, it concerned the colleagues from Migros. What has changed since then?
Naja, ich würde sagen, wir sind alle gute 3 Jahre älter geworden.
Well, I would say that we have all become 3 years older. And of course, Vitron and our WMS have become 3 years older. From a global perspective, there are a number of new innovations at Vitron, such as new picking systems. But one of the most important pillars in the past 3 years has certainly been the migration of our user interfaces to web-based technologies using our UX processes, which we already briefly highlighted 3 years ago. We were at the very beginning of the journey back then, and of course, the topic has evolved since then. We have learned a lot, and I would say that the current situation is completely different. In the meantime, we have developed a lot. We no longer have to gather initial experiences, so to say, and no longer have to wait for the first prototypes to be ready to test them in a productive environment. We have a very good feeling, have fully optimized the UX process as it is. The whole topic of user experience in IT and at WITRON in general now plays a completely different role than it did 3 or 4 years ago.
Würde ich sagen, vor 3 Jahren oder vor 4 Jahren noch der Fall war.
What does this UX process look like now? What is it and why do I need a UX process?
Also bei uns ist es tatsächlich so, der WITRON UX
process. For us, the WITRON UX process is actually based on a classic design thinking process. The goal is to consciously move away from the user interface or the graphical design of a process and head towards a more theoretical level. These partial processes, which are intended to map a certain UI, will then be modeled in any process management tool such as Visio or similar. Based on this design, we reflect on the following. Is there repetition in a process? Can we optimize the overall process? Can we even eliminate parts because they already exist somewhere else? Can we combine certain things? So I concentrate a lot on the theoretical process, optimize it, and then build a new interface based on this optimized process.
In other words, I look at what the employee does in the process, what the technology does. Is it like that? Do you simulate the material flow? Give us a brief explanation.
Kommt, denke ich, jetzt ganz drauf an, von was wir konkret sprechen.
I think it really depends on what we're talking about. The basis is an existing interface, which we have migrated just like in our specific project. But it could also be a request for a new picking system, for example, an innovation that we are building here at WITRON. And then it's about optimizing this process in iterations with the future users and my stakeholders. If we look at the process on a theoretical level, the software developer will not start to develop a dialogue based on Visio, but uses a classic wireframe to simulate the operation. The focus is not yet placed on the visual appearance, but the process is repeated again and again with the future users. The goal is to verify whether the process is feasible for the user or fits into the daily work routine, whether something can be changed or improved, etc. Once the process has matured to the user's satisfaction, we use it to build a UI prototype. This happens on the basis of our design system, where we have documented all the guidelines. One of the major challenges in terms of user experience was to find an acceptable balance without running the risk of getting bogged down in details.
Ohne Gefahr zu laufen, dass wir uns da im Detail verrennen.
Does this mean reducing complexity?
Genau. Irgendwann muss man natürlich auch mal.
Exactly. You have to finish at some point. And yes, the finished UI prototype is then handed over to the software developers who create the actual software.
Let's talk about the start again. You realized a project with new technology for North American customer. How did you and your team proceed? Did you go there, talk to the people, observed and held interviews? Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Genauso sieht's im Endeffekt.
That's exactly how it looked like. We didn't just talk to this customer, but
did this actually come from the customer who could no longer cope with it, or was it rather your idea to change something in the software?
Nee, interessanterweise ist der Aufhänger wirklich ein
Thema. No, the interesting thing is that the trigger was really a technological one. We realized very strongly that the market was pushing towards web-based technologies and that we had to make progress somehow. We thought that if we're carrying out this technological migration and ultimately having to rewrite software as a result, then let's also optimize the operation. And we failed to do this in the past. during the last technical migration and in principle paid the price with many customers because the interfaces became increasingly complex. We used to receive the designs from the developer, so to speak, and that made the entire process incredibly complex. This is why we decided to establish the UX process and make a redesign for this technical migration. We contacted existing customers in various countries directly and asked them specifically about weak points in certain areas of the system.
What was the feedback?
Well, interestingly, there was a lot of feedback regarding data maintenance, such as master data and settings, product versions, etc. There are a few manual interventions that need to be made in this automated system. Here it is important to automate and optimize these as best as possible in order to make the process as simple as possible to manage for employees. You have to think of it this way. There are an incredible number of attributes and features which we can add to our product master data, but only very few are really necessary or have to be set by an employee. The rest is very often automated. In the past, for example, this was a large interface where we had to set many features, and we have now deliberately equalized this with a kind of wizard. This is similar to the classic toner replacement on a printer, which explains the individual steps involved in changing the toner. For example, we have optimized this master data environment, and this has been very positively accepted. Also by our North American customers who are already operating a system in North America and can compare the existing world and the new world very well with their staff. As a result, we've already received very positive feedback that this is exactly what they would like to see for their employees.
Let's go back to the logistics center in North America. What did you do when you get there? The customer informs you of the weak points. Do you then have completely emphasized with the customer's employee? Do you have to make an interview with the employer? Do you have to make interview with several people? How do you proceed?
That's it. That's exactly part of this user experience process and the difference to the past. We deploy employees to the customer who are not software developers.
Who are these employees?
That's our UX team. On the one hand, these team members understand logistics and know what WeTron does and what processes run in such a warehouse. On the other hand, they deliberately don't know the technical background and then look at how the employee works with the interface today. And then, like a, let's call it normal user, they notice certain things such as that you have to click a lot of buttons or that there are many fields that you don't fill in anyway. The members of the UX team then deliberately address such points. There are certain questioning techniques, certain feedback forms, and they also sit down for an hour and see where employees click, where they search, where errors occur, where there are potential operating errors or a risk of operating errors that could later cause problems in the system. And that's how you actually start this whole UX process, because that's exactly what flows into the optimization of the process.
It sounds to me as if you are investing a lot of effort. What would you say that WeTron has launched a UX offensive? Do you really invest money? Do you really invest money because it is a major issue for customers?
Absolut. Also, UX is aufwendig.
Absolutely. UX is time consuming, and of course UX also costs money. This must be made clear. But in the end, it's really worth the effort. This UX initiative has an enormous number of advantages for WeTron, but also for our customers.
Process stability, etc.
Exactly. Of course, it's an investment first, that's clear. But if, for example, you save on support requests in the long term, need fewer service staff on site because the processes become more effective, or can even save on hardware costs because you deliberately decouple certain visualizations from a classic thin client and install them on a tablet, then give this tablet to the employee, then you might save another 50 computers in the facility. Of course, these steps are not immediately measurable at the moment, but in the long term, they will bring flexibility and definitely also cost savings. The initiative is absolutely worth it.
Also, die Initiative lohnt definitiv.
When you look back at the UX process for your North American client, what was particularly difficult and what was easy for your team?
Ja, also das erste, was wir tatsächlich gelernt haben.
The first thing we actually learned, I think, is that user experience in a warehouse or in an enterprise environment in the industry is quite different from user experience in a consumer market. We gathered input at the very beginning. We looked at what ready-to-use UX libraries and processes might already exist, such as Material UI from Google and so on. These can be used to derive certain best practices, such as menu navigation or similar, because people are used to those from their private smartphones and tablets. But certain things cannot be adopted or have to be adapted. I would say that a lot of things in our environment are very much geared towards functionality. I'm thinking, for example, of touch consoles at minus 26 degrees Celsius in a freezer facility. If these need to be operated with gloves, the surface requires a different design than on a classic tablet. This also applies to the color design. A working environment lit by neon light requires stronger contrasts if the work is done with old or bad screens, which can cause pixel errors. Also, the hardware continues to develop, and that distinguishes the entire usability and UX topic a bit from the consumer market. This is where we need to find a balance. We have learned a lot.
Mittelweg finden. Das war ein großes Learning, das wir hatten.
Have you been too euphoric at the beginning and thought you could now do everything like Apple?
Nee, also es war uns schon durchaus klar, dass unsere Anlage kein iPhone ist.
No, we were well aware that our system is not an iPhone. Nevertheless, our aim was to ensure that people could identify with our application. I just mentioned it. Most people may no longer have a computer at home, but only tablets or smartphones. They are used to burger menus and they are used to certain touch and swiping gestures. When it comes to touch operation in particular, we wanted to pursue a specific path and perhaps had it too much in a certain direction at the beginning. We learned very quickly and made optimizations, which is extremely important.
What was easy to handle? Where do you think things went smoothly?
The cooperation with our customers and the service teams was very positive. We thought it would be more difficult to get proper feedback. But it was indeed the case that both our customers and our service teams were very happy to spare their time. They currently see certain weak points. They work with the system day by day and were very grateful that a team of employees from Parkstein met with them to address various issues. These discussions included, for example, the creation of a new generation of interfaces, and as part of this, we wanted to know what the customers and service staff were comfortable or not comfortable with. It was very constructive. There were no controversial discussions or harsh criticisms. It was very positively accepted, and the discussions were very fruitful.
Now you have said you want to create new interfaces for the customer, whereas UX forms the upstream process. Are you now in a never-ending cycle of having to create new interfaces repeatedly because you want to keep pace with the development? Does your team now have to permanently check or for new operating concepts? What topics are currently concerning your colleagues in Spain, England, or Germany? What do the teams in North America say? Do you have to keep creating new interfaces, or have web visualization and HTML made it so modular that it's now much easier to handle?
Letzteres, also es geht tatsächlich leichter von der Hand.
I'd say the latter. It's actually easier to handle. The UX topic is not a one-off task, but an ongoing process. It never stops. We have to make sure that our product is always up to date, both technologically and functionally. Requirements change, there may be new innovations from WeTron, and also the customer business changes. We have to keep pace with that and react accordingly. That's why the UX topic is now also part of the product development process. It's no longer a supplementary element, but the key driver behind the UI development.
But that's a new way of thinking in a company, isn't it?
Da muss man massiv umdenken tatsächlich. UIs waren.
You really have to rethink things. In the past, UIs have always been a byproduct for WeTron, because we automate a lot, and the few interfaces didn't really matter.
True to the motto, you have to click your way through somehow, right?
Exactly, but now we've rethought things. User interfaces are the central gateway for operating a highly complex machine. This highly complex system is controlled by these UIs, and it requires an optimized operation, but also a fail-safe function. I also need the interfaces to ensure that nothing gets damaged in the warehouse.
How do you and your team measure the success of an interface?
Das sind, würde ich sagen, zwei große.
I would say that there are two main pillars. On the one hand, it depends on subjective feedback. We ask our users, and especially now during the initial period in North America, we are gathering feedback. Of course, you can always see how quickly word goes around. How are our users adapting? Are they using old methods? Are they creating Excel evaluations again? Or do they really like working with the new interfaces? Will this then spread among customers without us having to tell everyone to use it? It's often simply a case of watching, walking through the facility and offices and talking to people. The feedback follows automatically and the users are very honest. It is also possible to establish certain mechanisms that can partially automate this process. We're currently working very actively on automated error ratio determination. Let's assume, for example, that a user has to register a new item in the receiving area. The user clicks through this interface and half an hour later realizes that a pallet with exactly this item is stuck at a depalletizer with a fault. If certain attributes are set in a specific order, it can then be assumed that it was an operating error. And then you have to clarify why the user was able to make wrong entries. What went wrong? Was it a human error, or does the interface need to be adapted? Such things can then be automated. And it's also possible to measure how long someone needs for a certain task, or how long it used to take to enter such an item, and how long it takes today with the new interface. And you can really add as many details as you like. It is possible to use so-called user journeys, which record certain user workflows. For example, you can determine if a user required more time to complete a task because they didn't know what to do. And then you can make targeted optimizations. This can be advanced and measured in a very detailed manner.
Vorantreiben und dann auch messen, wie gut die Qualität ist.
Can we say that a good UX process saves time, creates process stability, and saves money?
Absolut, absolut. So kann man das.
Absolutely, that's how it can be described. And in addition, it may actually make workplaces attractive for customers. If our users enjoy operating system, then this might also make their jobs attractive. These days, it's difficult to find workers.
Now we have fantastic tools such as LLMs, ChatGPT, and all these chatbots. Do you say, well, not yet feasible for us, but we can think of interacting with the machine in the future?
Ja, kann ich mir länger.
I certainly can think of that in the long term. Today, too much domain knowledge is required, which these systems simply cannot have. If we talk about AI functions in general, I see more potential in other system areas, not primarily in terms of chatbots.
So user interfaces will be not solved via AI.
Wie gesagt, sehe ich Stand heute nicht.
Not yet, as I already said. We will see where the journey will take us. We don't actually have too many open questions that might be required for a chatbot. If so, then you are more likely to see this in the longer term in the area of context-sensitive help. For example, when someone needs help and enters a help text into the help function and then receives support, I think it's more feasible in terms of support instead of controlling a system.
Mr. Thimbeck, thank you very much for giving us an insight into Vitron's UX process, which never stops and is always going on. Thank you very much.
Sehr, sehr gerne. Ich bedanke mich auch für die Zeit.
You are very welcome. Thank you for your time.